Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
NFL recognized Derek Stingley for what he did on Sunday. We'll get to that. And the Chiefs are going to activate someone else for Derek Stingley to cover. Someone who hasn't played all year. So some Texans Chiefs notes to get to. But first, let's get to Pena. He's got a question about a movie. What's up, Pena?
Yeah, what up, Dale? Hey, real quick, to the last topic you were talking about. My sister would definitely take me to court, man. She's something else, man. She helped me get a car one time when I was like 21 years old, and I moved into my first apartment. She made me sign a contract and everything. She said no one could be in the car. I was like, man, that's out of here, man. Like, I'm going to pay you, but you're not going to tell me who can be in my car. Like, come on now. Like, she's something else. But I had saw a post on Instagram or Facebook or something, and it said now that I get older, I really think what's that kid's name from the movie? Macaulay Culkin's character from Home Alone. What did his dad do to be able to afford that big old nice house and pay for a family of 9 to go to Paris? Like, I want to know what do y'all think he did? Did him and his wife have like a fans only account or something? Or what were they doing? Thank you. Have a great day.
Well. So it would have been a little early for that, and the question wasn't if your sister would take you to court. The question is, would she extort you for money because she had blackmail evidence against you? That's a different conversation.
From the picture Pena painted, that's mm-hmm. very hard to say. Mm-hmm. I could see it.
You think she makes a leap to extortion because she holds him to maybe a higher standard than she should?
Mm-hmm. Or, you know. By the way, unenforceable contract. Don't worry about it, yeah. Pena.
Well, it happened like a decade ago, it seems like.
But, you know, she goes, well, I saw you had someone in your car with you. And now you're not giving me my money back. I'm putting on the ski mask. You know? I'm getting this money.
Well, I will give Pogba's brother and his group a little credit for being a little bit more sophisticated. They didn't come with guns. They just, hey, we're would that be considered white-collar crime to blackmail someone?
I feel like that's giving it too much credit.
Probably.
Because a lot of people blackmail people. I wouldn't call them white-collar.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. But, Pena, I hope you and your sister have a wonderful Christmas and no one extorts the other. As far as the Kevin McAllister theory, that's not unique. You start to look at how big that house was, mm-hmm. and they were able to take multiple trips to great locations, Paris being the first one, and then I think the family was supposed to be in New York or something, and then was that how the second one went down?
No, I think weren't they going to Miami
and
Macaulay Culkin ended up in New York.
He initially got on the wrong plane.
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever. I would say a lot of people are leaning towards the dad being a guy who handles mob money.
Yeah.
He's
Chicago.
Their accountant for the mob. Oh, that's a theory out there why Kevin McAllister had that giant ass house. Now it was in the 90s, so money went further than I, as opposed to what it is for someone to have that type of house now. But yeah, Pena, the thought that Kevin McAllister's dad was on the up and up and simply made his money by good old fashioned hard work.
I mean, he could something have been a lot CEO. Of us can't buy. He could have been a like. I don't know why we have to go. He
well
he
because had to we're be, we're all everyone's an awful person.
He
we got to assume
dirty. Yeah. He could just been made his money the honorable way as a CEO.
Yeah, that's honorable. So honorable. Getting big bonuses for doing absolutely nothing while everyone else gets fired. So honorable. And we know how some people in this country react to CEOs. If that wasn't the story over the last month or so.
That could have been Kevin McAllister's dad.
It's a different time, Sean. We didn't shoot CEOs back then. We just forgave them for leaving their kid at home
over
Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say, did he just left his child and then the robbers attacked a child. Got into a guerrilla warfare situation with the child.
Well, look who came out ahead on that one. According to Google's AI, Kevin McAllister's dad was Peter was simply a successful businessman.
Now that's shady.
Yeah, because we don't know what his job was. He was just a successful businessman. Oh, what does that mean?
I've had some successes in business.
Yeah, I mean.
Ooh. What do you mean, Mr. McAllister?
Mr. Escobar was a successful businessman.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
1989 was a good year for me.
Yeah.
What was that? What?
So, Home Alone book reveals the jobs of McAllister parents. Peter McAllister is a prominent businessman, or maybe even a day trader. See, there's two ambiguity. What do you mean, or maybe? Tell me what he did. What did he do?
Okay. Now I understand why people immediately went to nefarious.
And Kate McAllister, the mom, is a fashion designer. That's why that's why she had all the mannequins in the house.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
And two incomes.
Yes. So a two-income home from two very successful people.
Well, that's a lot of kids for two working.
Yeah. That's a lot of kids.
Like, and, you know, fashion designer. Successful businessman.
Who was giving up their...
Probably had a nanny, too.
Yeah,
just doing the math.
Apparently, no one was giving up the dream and raising the kids, so the kids run amok. Well, you can tell.
Yeah.
You look at those kids. I mean, they weren't...
Kevin is supposed to be, at least, the best of the kids.
Yes.
The most well-behaved of the kids. The one who's just trying to get by. And he sets a grown man's hair on fire.
Got to protect your home.
I'm saying, like, the other kids. Oh, my God.
What would they have done if Kevin's the normal one? We don't know. But all we know is the McAllisters had two high-paying jobs, and that's why they could do all the things they did, including leaving their kid in their Chicago home.
I think it was Michael Jordan's bookie. Because he had a Michael Jordan cutout in the home.
Do bookies make enough? Well, if you're Michael Jordan. Bookie, yeah, I guess, considering who we're talking about, maybe. Maybe he did make enough.
Although, actually, I'm pretty sure we know who Michael Jordan's bookie was. Or it was the guy who played golf with a bunch, and he looked at a central casting for a shady business guy who, why is that guy golfing with Michael Jordan? He had, like, a mustache and sunglasses.
Yeah, I don't think McAllister would be a bookie if he was doing something nefarious. I do think it would be handling mob money, but I don't think he would be taking bets. I think he would be cleaning their money. He'd be their forensic accountant, making sure things looked on the up and up to, you know, let the business keep running. And, you know, like a Jason Bateman type from Ozark, that type of guy.
And his son's a Jason Bateman type from Carry On?
No. If you remember Jason Bateman's kid in Ozark, that kid didn't mind firing off shotguns at people. So it's the 2020s McAllister is what I call him.
Ozark. This is basically just Home Alone.
If we think about it.
It's a retelling of Home Alone.
I'm like Charlie from Always Sunny, just making all the connections. Yeah, that's what it is. Thanks, Pena, for the call. I could have talked about Derek Stingley winning AFC Player of the Week, but this was better.
A Christmas tie-in. We haven't done any, you know,
Christmas
segments.
Yeah, we
haven't
done the Christmas bit stuff.
And I'm just going to take a guess that we won't.
It didn't really cross my mind. Like, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Or
is Die Hard a Christmas movie, Dale?
I don't have any energy to fight it, so sure. Okay. If people think it's a Christmas movie, it can be a Christmas movie.
So Iron Man 3 is also a Christmas movie? Well,
if you want it to be, I'll tell you right now, my favorite Christmas movie is Bad Santa.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, I know Love Actually apparently is very problematic now.
Oh, it is?
When people start to break down what actually happened in that movie, people are like, what are we doing here? But in 2004, I don't even know when the movie came out, but it came out around that time period. It was lovely, but now the millennials have gotten hold of it and are like,
wait a second.
Hold on. What are you doing showing up outside my house with signs?
Mm.
That's Mm-mm. weird. And Gen Z certainly ain't having it. So, Bad Santa, you got one since now we're doing it before we go?
Probably either Elf or Grinch, Jim Carrey, Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yeah, I don't really care for the kids' movies. Like I didn't watch kids' Christmas movies when I was a kid. The one we always watched was the one that showed up on NBC every year. It's a Wonderful Life. That's the one that always got watched.
I've never seen that.
You would be someone who apparently never turned to NBC randomly around Christmas time because it's always on.
No. You know what? You got me.
Yeah.
Never did.
Sorry. Prosecution rest. He's admitted to the crime.
Of never turning NBC.
Never turning it on.
Unless, I turn on, the only time I turn on NBC is at 6:45 every Sunday night. Or not every Sunday night. Sunday night for 4 months.
I'm not too surprised by that. And I would say that kind of fits me too. I mean, what am I watching NBC for? If there's a show I actually care about on NBC, it'll be streaming at some point. I don't have Peacock, but if there's an NBC show I care about, I will just watch it on demand. I'm not going to watch it as it runs.
I don't think I knew that Law & Order SVU was, or any of the Law & Orders, were a NBC show. I just assumed that they're a USA show because they're on USA 24/7.
No, I get it.
In my head, I was like, yeah, it's a USA show.
Yeah, watching first-run network shows is not really a thing for me anymore. I can't remember the last time I sat down and go, it's 8:30, time to watch this. Mm. Not how I operate.
Yeah, though. Ever since Young Sheldon ended, there hasn't been any.
Understood.
I just had to see how they tie it all in, you know?
I'm glad
the multiverse.
Sheldonverse. The Sheldonverse is what we're.
I guess the Big Bang Theory universe.
It's actually the Big Bang Theory verse or whatever they want to call it.
The Big Bang Theory universe is just this universe that we're living in right now.
One that no longer has Kraven the Hunter as a potential vehicle for Aaron Taylor Johnson to become a big Marvel star. And
I'm happy for Aaron Taylor Johnson that he doesn't have to make another one of these movies.
Good for him. And he's in Nosferatu. No, he's not in Nosferatu, but he's in what? There's a popular movie now I'm forgetting. Oh, he's in 28 Years Later. He's going to be in that. So that has some cachet.
Good for him. Can still pay rent. It's nice to know.
I wasn't actually worried about it, but I'm glad he doesn't have to. He's actually more likely to be extorted than have to deal with paying rent at this point in his life.
Oh, then watch out for your brothers, Aaron Taylor.
Whoever they may be. All right. Stingley, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Hollywood Brown, back with the Chiefs. They plan to activate him so the Chiefs get another weapon. Patrick Mahomes is on track to play. So they go from a 3-point underdog to a 3-point favorite in the game. And that's where we are. The Texans will see the Chiefs at relative full strength. We'll see if Patrick Mahomes is limping around out there. But I wasn't surprised that he was going to play. He always limps around late in the season. That's what he does. That's who he is. But the Texans are going to see him. So they'll have to deal with a Super Bowl champion who will have the starting quarterback in a big game as far as narratives. The Texans beating the Chiefs would be great for the profile, would be great for how we feel about them. But as far as actual consequences this season, I don't see much in it whether you win or lose. You would just like to feel good on a Saturday night or Saturday afternoon because your team wins. Chris, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in, you can. The number is 713-780-3776. Sean and I are going to be out at Republic Boot Company tomorrow. And then, of course, on Monday, it is the Christmas party. So come out and join us at either location. We'd welcome you. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Dream Shake agrees. The double bagger segment ain't exactly great. It's not a segment per se. It's just an occurrence during a segment, and he isn't wrong. It's not great if you're in your car. For some reason, he has a picture of NBA Live 2000, which I guess is Michael Jordan's first appearance in that franchise. He has the actual CD case. Remember when things are in little CD cases for your video games? Maybe you don't, Sean. You might.
I remember.
You might.
I remember. Come on.
Tim Duncan's on the cover of this.
I talked about NBA Live or NBA 2K11 earlier to the show.
He goes, "Hey, how dare you?
Yeah.
I'm not as young as you say I am.
I had that on the Xbox 360.
Yeah, you would remember. Now I'm just...
I don't know the last time I got one.
Yeah, but now just download it. Just download the game. It's the easiest way to do things. So the whole stand in front of a game, stop at midnight for a game, long gone.
The only physical ones I have are because they would get discounted. Like, this is like 7 years ago or something. They would get discounted, the physical ones, on like Amazon or whatever. But in the PlayStation store, they just won't be discounted for the digital version. So I just order it on Amazon and have it show up 2 days later for like half the price.
And with it being the Christmas season, it doesn't really hit the same. I can't imagine it hits the same for kids like it did for us, where it's Christmas Day morning. You go to the tree. You unwrap your Madden whatever or whatever the game is you want, as opposed to now where you just get dad to – verify the credit card information and have it downloaded, or mom do it, whoever's doing it. And it's, hey, this is going to take about 20 minutes, then I can play. Like, do parents...
That's tough.
Do parents do that? Do they wait till, like, Christmas morning to buy the game? Or do they, like, if it's a Christmas thing, do they, all right, I got to go to the PlayStation store and buy the game Christmas morning?
That's what I would do, yeah.
I wonder, if you're a parent and you have to buy video games for your kids,
because they're probably,
how do you do it?
They're probably going to be playing on the PlayStation the night before, so they would see it download, or they would see it pop up.
Yeah, I wonder if you're still under, let's make sure you don't play with any of your toys until Christmas morning. Are you waiting until like 7 a.m. when everyone's up, or at least your kid's up, to buy the game, download it, and let them start? I wonder how that works for parents. I ain't ever going to find out. Just putting it out there. Let's get to, we got a couple calls. Let's get to Chris first. He wants to talk about Bad Santa.
Hey, Dale. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, great show, man. Hey, first, you actually brought up a great topic about video games, man. Back in the day, my favorite Madden I unwrapped as a kid because I'm a Packers fan was the Brett Favre edition. I still got that wrapped up, actually. I never, ever, ever touched it.
Wow.
Just because I'm like a weird collector, so I'll say that.
I get it.
But, back to the Christmas movies, man. Yes, Bad Santa is the number one spot for any Christmas movie as an adult. I don't care what you say, as you agree. Number two, me being a Marine, Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
Is my number two spot. And then my number three spot would have to be Die Hard.
You know, I don't know how many people because of your background would put Full Metal Jacket there. It doesn't ring Christmas movie. But
it does, because he actually does sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. they do celebrate Christmas at boot camp, and me being a Marine, I have spent many, many, many horrible, horrible Christmases in the Marine Corps. But you know what? They were the best ones. Because you know what? If I suffered, we all suffered. We all suffered together. And you know what? That's what made Christmas that much better. Because once you got off, know what you did? You drank. That's what made Christmas that much better.
Chris, however you celebrate Christmas, and this is for Chris and anyone else, do you? They did sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. I just don't know, beyond you and your Marine Corps buddies, would put it there, but I'm not fighting it.
I mean, Die Hard doesn't have the traditional Christmas spirit. It's an action movie where there's a terrorism plot. Like,
but you know what, though?
Yeah.
You know what, though, about Bruce Willis? Bruce Willis, of all action stars, which to me, Bruce Willis is the greatest action star of all time, because he is the common man's action star. He's not Schwarzenegger. He's not Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He's not Stallone.
He is the average-looking man
that
still kicks butt. can't beat that.
Yeah, I'm not fighting.
He beats all the terrorists.
I agree, man.
As an average-looking man.
I think that was the appeal, that he did not look like some juiced-up dude who wasn't like the rest of us. He got it done. Wow. It's unique. It's pretty unique that Hollywood went with the balding everyman to be their action hero. It's not what they would do today. But they did it, and Bruce Willis was very, very good at it. Look, I like Die Hard. I don't think of it as a Christmas movie, but I don't fight anyone. Full Metal Jacket is one I'm gonna start asking people about what they think. Thanks, Chris, for calling it. But of course, you agree with me with Bad Santa. It's great. It's the best one. If you're an adult, lock in on Bad Santa. What
yeah, I'll probably
doing?
Give it a run this weekend or something.
Yeah,
maybe not. This weekend.
Yeah, maybe not this week. We've got CFP stuff in the NFL, but during the week.
Yeah.
And yeah, and RIP to the greatness that is Bernie Mac. Shout out to Bernie Mac. We got thanks, Chris. Appreciate you calling in. Bad Santa, number one for me and for you. Mike, you actually want to talk about sports. Yucky. Mike, you want to talk Chiefs Texans? What's up?
First of all, if you were a kid back in the day, at least when I was growing up, and you got like Madden or something on Christmas, you were a total nerd because everyone else got it like when it first came out. So you're like
That's
three
true.
Or 4 months behind.
That's
everyone
true.
Already been playing for months. And so you were like, everyone was just like, your parents are cheap or you're a nerd. Bad Santa is a pretty good movie. I guess before I get to my Texas question, like, what do you think about all these weird, like, I don't know if you grew up, like, going to church or whatever, but, like, these weird, like, little, like, demon movies coming out now for Christmas, like Dear Satan, which is a.k.a. Dear Santa, or, like, Nosferatu, or Krampus came out a couple years ago. Are you a fan of, like, horror movies during Christmas time?
I like horror movies, but I don't watch Christmas theme horror movies. It's not, they don't appeal to me. Krampus, I'm probably never going to watch. I'm not even really a giant holiday movie person, except for the ones I really love. So, Halloween, the Halloween stuff, it's got to be great. I'm just not going to go on a marathon of watching Halloween movies. So, no, I don't like the demon Christmas movies. If I'm going to go with one, it'll be a Bad Santa or a more traditional one. And like Jack Black has one out called Dear Santa. He looks like he's got like demon horns on or something. I'm not exactly sure. I guess he's Satan. He's playing Satan. I'm out. I'm not watching Jack Black be in a Christmas movie while he plays Satan.
Yeah. I also, another like deep cut was I dated this girl one time and she said that her favorite Christmas movie was Edward Scissorhands. And I thought that was so weird. But anyways, back to my football question. If the Texans pull it out this weekend, and let's say that Patrick Mahomes looks decently healthy and he's not hobbling around where everyone can say that, you know, and they won just because he was hurt or whatever. If it is like a decent game, which it probably won't be because the Texans are trash, but let's just say it's a decent game, like will the talk about them now being like they float around being a playoff team to like an actual contender pushing for something. Do you think that gives steam more to, like, the Texans, or is it still, like, a mystery on what's going to happen with them, like, going into the playoffs, depending on where their seeding is and who they play, like, first round? And then my last thing is it true that, like, I know that this is a separate thing, but the Rockets are so bad at shooting right now. Is it true that they're so desperate for, like, an accurate shooter that they're willing to give Luigi Mangiani a 10-day contract if he's acquitted?
It is not true. Thank you, Mike. You heard me say, here we go. You knew it was coming. The lead up, you knew. I think Mike has done this before. Maybe not about the Rockets, but he will get through his regular call, and then he will have a joke. I knew. Mike, I see you. I see you working.
I was like, is he going to bring up Zach LaVine?
No, I knew it wasn't going to be anything where it's an actual basketball player. It was going to be in that line, and he did it. The answer is it's not true. As far as the narrative surrounding the Texans, if they win this game, I'm glad you kind of gave the caveats of how it went. Context will matter, because if it's a close one where the Chiefs finally don't pull it out, oh, the Chiefs finally got. They finally didn't win a game where they maybe didn't deserve it and they are in it. Finally, their luck ran out. It'll matter about how the Texans play. Look, there'll be people in this town who, no matter how it goes, will tell you that this stamps the Texans as a real contender. When we've seen the Chiefs play good teams close, play bad teams close, it doesn't matter. The Chiefs play close games. So I don't think a close win over the Chiefs means that much. The luck has to run out for them, and maybe the Texans are just a team who will have the luck flip their way. If they go out there and kick the Chiefs' ass, then we're having a different conversation about what they can be in. And certainly that is still only a one-game scenario. I would still take the Chiefs in a playoff game in Arrowhead against the Texans if it came down to that. But the way they play will kind of lead how people talk about them. Now, I mentioned earlier that I don't think what happens means that much as far as the entire view of the Texans, unless it is a beatdown. Then you can start to look at, oh, did we run the football? Did that offensive line that they put together coalesce? Was CJ accurate and Sean can play Shred'em Shroud on Monday? Actually, Sean won't even be here. You will be at Knicks, or will you be back here?
I'll be at Knicks place.
Okay, so Sean won't be able to play. We'll inform whoever's filling in for him to play it. Will that be something we can play? Because CJ lights up the Chiefs' defense, which is a good one. Like you said, how it goes down matters. And we will see on Saturday afternoon how it goes down. Texans, Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes will play. Hollywood Brown appears to be on track to play. Joe Mixon looks like he's going to go. He was limited yesterday, but he was out there practicing. So we will see noon, starting at noon on Saturday. Okay, we got a couple more segments here to go before we wrap it up. We'll get into some CFP talk. More so about what we find most compelling about these matchups. Maybe we'll get more into what we actually think will happen tomorrow, but we haven't talked a lot about them. And I do like storylines, and I do like where the games are being played and who's playing in them. So we'll get to that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
Art wants a culture war for Christmas. He wants traditional white Jesus versus, I guess, my mom's version of black Jesus. And then he wants Mexican Jesus just to sit and watch.
I don't know.
Would that be marketable? What do you want, like a superhero battle? I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I'm trying to ground it into a relatable story.
Yeah, we'd have to, I don't know. Maybe Jack Black can play the evil Santa, evil Jesus, I don't know. I didn't know until we had Chris calling Mike calling about it, and I was like, wait a minute.
I saw the trailer for it. Probably won't give it a spin.
No,
I'll say
unlikely. Paramount Plus, if you want to watch it.
Yeah. Dears. I don't know. It looks like Jack Black doing Jack Black stuff, but I'm just the premise. Just run that by me one more time, because I think it's like the kid writes a letter to Santa, but he misspells it and sends it to Satan,
and it winds up in Satan's
and
mailbox.
So now, like, Satan gives him three wishes or something. I don't know.
All this after you turned on your longtime Tenacious D music partner, all just to make movies like Dear Santa.
I mean, probably already made it when he turned on Kyle Gass, but
yeah, you're probably right. Probably was well into production before he did it, but still, all that to promote and get away with being able to promote Dear Santa, turning on Kyle Gass. Well done. This is what you're doing.
You're too good.
You ruined what a 3-decade long relationship with your good buddy, and this is what comes out of it. You get to promote Dear Santa without having to worry about being canceled by a certain part of the country. Come on, at least do a passion project, not a money grab. If you're gonna crush Kyle Gass,
maybe he was like, hey, listen. This Minecraft thing, it's going to be big. Can't have any distractions.
Yeah. He's in collect them checks territory right now.
He's in
Minecraft, yes. Dear Santa.
Adult in a kid's movie. That is his lane.
Well, isn't that his best kid's movie? I mean, his best movie when he played an adult in a kid's movie? School of Rock?
School of Rock and Kung Fu Panda. He lives in this lane.
Jumanji?
Jumanji.
It's what he does.
Yeah.
Can he ever act around adults? Or at least with adult theme subject matter?
Shallow Hal.
Yes,
25 years ago?
That was very adult, yes.
Tropic Thunder? He was in Tropic Thunder? Mm-hmm. He really should do more Tropic Thunder type roles. Where he just plays like an insane cokehead actor.
Yeah. That's the Jack Black I loved. What happened to that guy?
I want
guy?
The old Jack Black.
Yeah, not the new one. I don't want the one who's trying to make me... I actually don't want the one who's trying to make me dance. I want the one who was insane and took on serious roles. Okay. CFP, Sean, let's remove Texas and Clemson from the equation because it's not fair to the conversation. What game are you most looking forward to?
I mean, obviously, Ohio State, Tennessee is the most, I guess, like traditionally compelling matchup. Like it's two evenly matched teams. The favorite is coming in at a all-time vibes low, and you have a Tennessee team who has some strengths that should really play well against the weaknesses of Ohio State. So that is like the traditional kind of like I'm if I were to suggest to someone who doesn't watch college football, like, what game should I watch this weekend? I would suggest that one. For myself, though,
uh-huh.
SMU-Penn State.
Why SMU-Penn State?
It's very interesting because if we get – there are two teams that I feel like are so, like, volatile with what you can get. And if the teams that showed up in the ACC and Big Ten title game show up, Penn State's going to smoke
them. Kill them, yeah.
Because that's the best Penn State's ever looked, and SMU tricked off the entire first quarter.
They look like a team who
the moment was too
weren't ready to meet that moment, yeah.
Yes. And so I wonder if you're going to get the more settled-in SMU that we saw for the last three quarters of the Clemson game, and are we going to see Penn State perform at a level we really haven't seen Penn State perform at? Because they do lose close to good teams, but normally it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look in the way that when Drew Aller says he's coming back for another year at, what, a week and a half after the game, people aren't like, are you sure, dude? Because you keep playing like that, you might leave the draft. It looks more like the Ohio State game where they're getting nothing on offense, yeah, and they lose 17-13.
Yeah, and the announcement timing is weird, other than I don't want any distractions. So if you light it up, you're on a three-game run, you're still coming back?
Yeah, exactly.
What are we talking about? Or however many games he's in, you're still going to come back to Penn State if you shoot up draft boards? Okay, sure.
If you have this, even if you'd like, yeah, you, I mean, you'd have to smoke SMU, but then you play Georgia and you have like the CJ Stroud versus Georgia game. You have three CJ Stroud versus Georgia games. Like, dude, you should leave.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
You're going to be a first round pick if you do that.
So.
But I just think it's interesting because I can talk myself into a lot of different outcomes with that, where it's like I could see Penn State smoking them. I can see a low-scoring grind-out win for either side. I can also see SMU coming in there, probably not blowing them out, but coming out swinging and kind of, I don't know, dictating how the game gets played.
So you approach that with a very serious football breakdown.
Well,
Other stuff. If we're going about why I'm interested in these games, is because I want to look at Ryan Day's face if things would go poorly early. I care less about the game itself. I don't have any real feelings about Tennessee or Ohio State. I care more about the anxiety on and it ever building on Ryan Day's face if things are going poorly early. The grumbling from the crowd, Ryan Day knowing this is bad, what are we going to do? Every play is like him living or dying. I want that Urban Meyer effect that we've been missing. Remember when Urban Meyer felt like he was going to nearly pass out, yes. And he had to leave the game because
I remember the game of football. Yes.
Remember who he was sitting very sadly in that golf cart after losing the Big Ten title game? What game did he lose? Was it the Big
Ten? That was the Big Ten title game. I want to say like 2015.
And he was sadly eating Papa John's in that golf cart.
Oh, actually, it might have been like 2013.
Yeah. This is what I'm looking for. The game itself, obviously, that means Tennessee is playing well, or at least Ohio State's playing poorly. I need that. I need Ryan Day cam. I need to watch him react to everything that's going wrong for Ohio State, and him hearing the fans, him knowing Chip Kelly is screwing him over and maybe doing an end around to take that job from him. I need it all. What do we? Okay. But seriously, I hate Ohio State with a passion beyond the Ryan Day thing. I will never root for them to win anything. I ain't going to be singing Rocky Top, but I might be humming it throughout the game. That's what I'm looking for as far as a football thing, but the non-football stuff, Ryan Day, come on. Come on, that's the compelling part of that game.
Yeah, Ryan Day pack watch is going to be fun. It is the only game this weekend where you go, I'm not sure how much of a home field advantage this is going to be, not just because of the invasion of Tennessee Volunteers that's being reported, which I don't know. I don't know how much, like, is it going to be 70-30? Like, that's probably the max that I can see.
Yeah, how many Tennessee fans will actually be in that building?
Exactly.
Despite the reporting about how many tickets they bought from the secondary market.
Yes, and there's the fact that, like what you mentioned, like, they start with two straight three and outs, or
yeah, give me a couple
punts. They don't score on the first
three
drives.
Fail on a third down. Maybe miss a field goal, even if you do get a first down or two. I need the anxiety to build on his face as Tennessee's defense is harassing, and you look at Will Howard and you're like, ooh, this is the Will Howard we saw against Michigan. What is this?
I do see a hard time for Tennessee to like run away with it unless you get full Ohio State quit on there.
I agree.
Just because like the way Nico Iamaleva has played so far, like he has not their offense. You think back 2 years ago with Hendon Hooker, how they were throwing the ball all over the place, deep shots and stuff. That's not really what they do. They still throw the deep shots.
They just don't connect on them.
They don't complete them. Either Nico overthrows them or the guys drop them. But they're more of a run up the middle with Samson kind of team. And that's running straight into the Ohio State defense. That's like the teeth of the defense is that front seven. So I have a hard time seeing it being like some fireworky high-flying game. That, and it's going to be 20 degrees. And
yeah.
I just have to assume Nico has never played in weather like that.
It's a night game in Columbus. We're talking about potential snow showers. It'll be nasty weather. That's the other appeal. These teams who don't deal with that type of weather going up north. I had hoped it would be a Dabo joint, but he's going to Texas, it's going to be
60s.
Mild. And okay. Mild in Austin.
Maybe.
It'll be mild in Austin. That's not what I was looking for Dabo. I needed him somewhere very cold. Just didn't play out that way. Thanks, Texas, for losing in the SEC
title. I mean, it would have been Georgia.
Maybe.
It would have been Georgia as the 5 seed.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or maybe they would have had Penn State at the 5.
Yeah,
who
it would have been Penn State.
Yeah, so, yeah. Thanks, Texas, for ruining my dream.
Burn Auburn.
I'm actually out here hoping you guys win an SEC title, and you give me that. And now I got Dabo in mild temperatures. I needed him to be
wintery mix Dabo.
Yeah, he doesn't have a beard, but I needed like the cold to be frozen on his nose, and I'm not getting any of that mucus. But we're not getting any of that because Texas can't close the deal. Gunnar Stockton of all people winning a game. What are we doing?
I know.
The problem is you shouldn't have hurt Carson Beck. You probably would have won the game.
That was the issue.
Yeah. Hey, look at us hitting the quarterback and putting him out of the game, and it cost us.
He did three straight interceptions.
Shout out to Texas early for not taking advantage of the opportunity. Could have been like 14-0. We wouldn't even have to be worried about this right now. It happens. And you know what? I guess you feel very confident about Quinn Ewers against Clemson.
You know who could have used an extra 10 days off? Quinn Ewers.
Very true.
Or at least I could have used another 10 days off.
From Quinn Ewers.
One less game.
Having to depend on Quinn Ewers to come through.
That is the biggest thing with the bye. Like, I get the, well, now they have to beat a Clemson team that was not going to make the playoff under any circumstances.
Yeah, so it's not exactly.
And Arizona State in a dome.
Yeah, it's not exactly a tough run.
But just the fact that, not that they have to play an extra game and, like, there's always a chance you lose a game. It's that I have to sit there and have my emotions played with for 4 hours in the middle of a Saturday.
Particularly when you know you should win this game and maybe
the next two games, if they play two games, will not be enjoyable in any way. Like, I'm not going to come in here being like, yeah, baby, we won. I mean, I wouldn't do that on Saturday anyway. But, I guess we had the Monday show. But, like, no matter what, I just have to be like, okay.
We should have won that game.
Now the playoffs start in the Final Four.
Yeah, yeah. And you're in a position where you're supposed to win. You just have to hope your quarterback doesn't put you in a position where you're miserable in the fourth quarter, hoping you pull it out.
I think I'm going
to
be miserable.
It's a real shot that's going to happen. And we're talking a lot about the games. You can hear them starting tomorrow at 6:30. Indiana, Notre Dame, which is fun because of, we talked about earlier, they never play each other. And the committee, although they're not the NCAA, they did something the NCAA tournament committee would do. They put two in-state teams against each other who never play. So that starts our CFP coverage here on ESPN 97.5 at 6:30. And then starting on Saturday at 11, we're going to have all three games. So if you're out and about doing the Christmas shopping because you made the horrible mistake of waiting until the weekend before, it happens. Everyone procrastinates. You can drive around, go to wherever you need to go to get what you need and get back in the car or, you know, carry the phone. The app works too if you want to be someone who has your headphones in. Trust me, I have earbuds in when I'm shopping. Who am I talking to? You can do that too. So we have all the games for you throughout the weekend. Julian, you want to talk about, I guess that's Saquon Barkley. We can get to you now. What's up, Julian?
How you doing, gentlemen?
What's up?
So I've been busy today. I get in the vehicle, and XM is on Fox Sports, you know? And they're falling over themselves about Saquon Barkley and the record, how... If it could be broken, it needs to be broken. And this is bigger than just Saquon. This is bigger than the Philadelphia Eagles. This is for the NFL. Dude, he's getting an extra game. I mean, it's impressive what he's doing, no doubt. But I don't care about no rushing record when you have an extra game. It means nothing to me. And I feel like we should have an asterisk. NFL should have an asterisk for all these records that are being broken with 17 games. And then y'all... You know, they're probably going to have an 18th game within the next 5 years, right? I mean, let's just be real. The NFL's greedy. They want the money. And they're the only league that has yet to feel any kind of decrease in viewers. But if, especially if they go to 18, who gives a hell? Oh, my bad.
Watch it. Who
cares about a rushing record?
I don't care about. Yeah, I don't feel. One, I don't care about records one way or the other. I don't feel strongly about them mattering or saying they don't. But at this point, should the asterisk be next to 16? Because it was a 14-game schedule. So how far does this go? Do we go modern era records? I'm not sure because as games become more lucrative to have, there will be more regular season games played. So.
Yeah,
you can have this argument about 17 or 18. We could have the argument about 16.
OJ did in 14.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So who actually has the record? Do you just or do you go are all records to be about average per game? Like, what if Saquon is averaging more yards per game than I guess Eric Dickerson is the league currently the record holder?
If you're trying to erase OJ Simpson from history,
well, certain people have.
Which
and want to.
Julian isn't. Julian is standing up for O.J. Simpson.
I don't know if he was standing up for O.J. or Eric Dickerson or just Eagle hate. I'm not sure what that was about. You always have to look a little deeper. That might just be Eagle hate coming from the 49er fan.
That's Christian McCaffrey's record.
Yeah. Although I did. You know, honestly, I did look to see if Christian McCaffrey was in line for it to see if why he was so angry about it. Just to make sure. There's always some bias in everything that we do. But.
Isaac Garrido's number.
Well, he might put up 150 against the Dolphins on Sunday. We'll see. Look, as I said, 14, 16, 17, 18, whatever it gets to, there could be an asterisk against any record. I do think part of it should be per game. That might be the, I guess, certainly endurance of playing a lot of games means something to records. But if we're talking about the most productive running back season, Put it at a minimum of 15 games ago. How many yards did you rush for per game? And if you have the record there, maybe you're the most prolific rusher in the NFL since number of games continues to change. All right, we're done for the day. We got one more show before the big Christmas party on Monday. We'll be out at Republic Boot Company tomorrow from 7 to 12. Sean will be out there with me. You can join us as well. So since we are done, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. Gallant and George are up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.